Wir sind SBS German. Weitere Inhalte finden Sie auf sbs.com.au/German.
First of all, I'll just say I'm thrilled to get this award. Maybe there could have been a different date, but that's fine. And I especially see that I'm being recognised as a writer and for contributing to literature. I've been a writer all my life, since I was about 7. I live over in Perth now. I'm from Queensland. I have an early settler German background. And my father's family went to Handorf in the 1840s, and my mum's parents went to southeast Queensland, Toowoomba around there, in the 1860s. And because my dad was a Lutheran pastor in Wollongong, where we grew up with all the German and other immigrants and refugees from Northern Europe, we had a big ongoing feeling of being connected with Germany, and I've been able to develop on that in my more recent work at universities.
Ihr Name klingt Süddeutsch.
Yes, my dad's family came from Bortmann outside of Stuttgart, and a Habig person that I met took me to the archives in Stuttgart, and all of my ancestors for like 2 or 3 centuries back were all listed as Weingärtner, vine growers. But when they came to Australia and went to Handorf, they became blacksmiths in the town. And there's a shop there that was originally their smithy that's still standing. So we had this in a really strong, good connection. I grew up feeling a strong connection with Germany and always wanted to go back there and have a look around and do some work there. So do some research. So that's been good.
Sie haben auch eine starke Verbindung zu den Menschen der First Nation.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I was just thinking, because now my husband's a Noongar man, so that's a name for Aboriginal people over here in the southwest. We met in the 1980s, and we're soulmates. You know, we just get on really well and work together as a team doing research. And we now have we're busy growing up a family of adults, but we've got about 18 grand and great grandchildren now. So the last count, but another one on the way. So we have a lot of fun. We have a lot of laughter together. We enjoy the sharing of, you know, my background and his background, and it comes in really really handy, I guess, when we're doing our research, because we're very complementary in our backgrounds. And he's worked always in things to do with land rights and more in the Aboriginal community health, and I've always worked more in a sort of a writerly research area. So we're a good pair, I think. In the late 1970s, I was floating around. I'd been overseas, lived in Paris a couple of years, came back here, didn't know what I was doing, landed this job. I don't remember how exactly, but it was like that expression, tipping point. It was a tipping point in my life, because I was working with a bunch of Noongar elders doing research about their history, about family history and so on. And they taught me about, I didn't even study history at uni, but they taught me about how to do Noongar history. So from then on, I started writing and doing research, and I never looked back. And I found that I did a PhD about Noongar history here, and I found that because I'd learned about what people are interested in, Noongar people, and also how to write in a way that they felt comfortable with, that the book, my first book called For Their Own Good, did really well. And even today, it's still being used. It came out was published in 1888, 1889. And all the elders around now, they still come up and say, hey, sis, do you have any copies of those books? The book still in print, you know. So when I see one in a shop, in a second-hand shop, I buy them up and keep them for people. So I feel really pleased that I've been able to have that orientation. And that's become my life work, really, working around Noongar issues, but also about other issues, about immigration, from how I grew up, and then my own interest in art. And I studied art for 3 years and did surprisingly well, actually. And I had to go that up because I had to go back to work. So,
Ihr Buch, For Your Own Good, was ist denn der Inhalt?
Okay, so that's a really, you know, for people who are interested in issues like, you know, the voice, you know, the referendum, it looks at Noongar history from about 1900 to 1940, and it traces the systems of administration that were set up for Noongar people then and how that really broke up their lives in a way. You could see how people that were forced into poverty. So at the beginning of 1900, there were a number of people who had their own farms and so on who were doing really well in the sort of a Noongar and white world. And then over those 40 years, the people were pushed into poverty, homelessness, living on town reserves in really terrible conditions, poor health, been put in prison. Their children weren't allowed to go to school. Aboriginal children here weren't allowed into state schools until 1948. And then families are broken up and the kids are taken away. So, you know, when you look at something like the Closing the Gap reports and you think about people here, the people I know, the communities, then you can see how that impact has kept on going today and how people do need a voice to make changes. It's very hard for people to make changes and improve situations here.
Ihr Mann ist ein stolzes Mitglied der First Nation. Er ist aber auch Mitglied einer berühmten Fußballdynastie.
Oh, yes. And I don't know if people over there know how many Noongar people have been, have made up the number of famous footballers in the AFL. It's really amazing how many have, you know, the crackers. But let's talk about the cricket. So everybody says that all the crickets are related. So Daryl is related to the famous Buddy. Buddy Franklin, yes. So I think it's his mum who's a cricket. And also his brother Derek, who was playing for Sydney Swans. And even in the local, you know, in the state games, he himself played football up in Darwin and years ago and told me he was a big star. But he was a boxer too. So lots of people, Noongar people, were really strong in sports. Quite amazing.
Folgen Sie Aussie Rules Fußball?
Oh, yeah. I probably see too much of it, maybe. But I love soccer. I couldn't stop watching the women's soccer in the World Cup when it was on. And I found that really exciting to watch. Yeah. And how it drew in all the young people and the girls, you know, toddlers waving flags. I thought that was really exciting to see everyone coming together like that.
Sie sagten am Anfang dieses Gesprächs, dass Sie sich über den Order of Australia freuen. Sie hätten die Auszeichnung aber doch lieber an einem anderen Tag bekommen. Reflektiert das Ihre Meinung über den Australia Day?
I'm all for people coming together. And I think, you know, if people want to celebrate, everybody has their own choice. Personally, I don't really do much on Australia Day. And anyway, it doesn't mean a lot over here in WA. Well, it does. Australia Day does. But if people over here looked at our local history, then WA was only colonised in 1829, officially, and our Foundation Day, as it's called, is in the middle of June, so it's all a bit out of kilter. But, you know, I think I get a bit disappointed with how the media picks up on some of the things. You know, I noticed that one of the local council members over east, said that they should stop having welcome to country ceremonies. And I thought, well, that's unfortunate to say that, because there's a story that's gone around that some of our local people, like Ernie Dingo, invented welcome to countries in the 1970s or something. But that's not true. They didn't claim that. And the fact is that these sort of welcoming people to country ceremonies have been going on for, you know, if it's 60,000 years that Aboriginal people have been in Australia, that's how long they've been going on, because they had great big gatherings of people amongst themselves before white people came, and there were always these ceremonies that had to be held before people could sit down together and feel comfortable. And there's, I don't know if people over there have heard about the big mission here called New Norcia. It's on the tourist map, so probably some people have been there. But the man who set that up, you know, Bishop Salvato, he records how he one of those ceremonies that he went through before he could sit down and talk to the men, Aboriginal men who are waiting to talk to him. So it's an ancient tradition, and I think it's a pity that people are bringing that difference up again. It's been in the news before, it comes up regularly. I think that's a pity.
Das Voice Referendum ist gescheitert, aber hoffen Sie trotzdem, dass Australier und First Nations Mitglieder eines Tages gemeinsam zusammenkommen und unsere Probleme lösen?
I don't think you're ever going to get any big group of white Australians, or Aboriginal people for that matter, to agree just on one thing. We all have our own views on things, but we certainly could come together and work together with our different views. And I think that there's, I don't know, I hope for that, but I think that there's lots of examples around now that we can look to where people are doing that. And I'd like to make a special congratulations to our West Australian of the Year over here, Mrs. Michelle Turvey, because her young son was beaten up on his way home from school, a 12-year-old boy, and he died about 10 days later in hospital. And her response, I think, is quite amazing. She became part of became a very well-known matter, and there was a national mourning day for that boy. But following on from then, she's been spending her time, and this is what she's being recognised for, by working and having training sessions with the police here in Western Australia about how to deal with victims of crime, particularly Aboriginal people who experience this. And I think, you know, oh, hats off to her. That's wonderful. And I just like to think that we're all people like myself, my husband. There's a lot of people out there who are really working hard to foster strong relationships between younger people and Wadjalas, white people. So I look forward to better days so that people can be cooperating more with each other. That's what we hope for. And I think that doing things together, instead of having shouting matches like happened with the voice, with the referendum and attacking people, I think that's a way to go.
Das ist ein schönes Schlusswort, Frau Habig. Ich bedanke mich bei Ihnen und Gratulation noch einmal zu Ihrer Auszeichnung.
Lust auf weitere Interviews und Geschichten? Uns gibt's auf allen großen Podcast-Plattformen wie Apple, Google und Spotify.